Nehemiah, he was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace. And Nehemiah had a maid in the shade on how he would sing. But you know, in chapter 1, I just want to establish the foundation that in chapter 1 of Nehemiah, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost parts of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. What a prayer from Nehemiah. He had prayed unto the Lord and also repented. And now to our text in Nehemiah chapter 6. Sanballat and Tobiah were desperate. The wall was almost complete, and their efforts to stop its construction was failing. So they tried a new approach, focusing their attacks on Nehemiah's character. They attacked him personally with rumors. Verse 6 says, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. Next, they conspired with deceit in verses 10 to 13. And if that was not enough, they used false reports against Nehemiah. In verse 17, moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters of Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. Personal attacks really hurt, and especially when criticism is unjustified, it is easy to fall into despair when you are doing God's work. You will receive many attacks on your character. Let the church say amen. He tried to turn Nehemiah's people against him by saying that Nehemiah was trying to set himself up as the king. Sanballat also tried to turn the local officials against Nehemiah. He accused Nehemiah of starting a revolution. The fact that Sanballat had an open letter unsealed, that unsealed letter delivered to Nehemiah, shows that he wanted to make sure the letter's content were made public. He wanted to make Nehemiah ashamed. He wanted to put him to shame. But Sanballat's accusations were not true. And Nehemiah did not allow this to divert him from his task. Listen, church, when opposition builds up against you or God's work, it is tempting to pray for God to get you out of the situation. It is so tempting to back up and say, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. No, but listen to what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah prayed for God to strengthen his hands. He showed tremendous determination and character to remain steadfast in his responsibility. And he looked to God for strength. He looked for God's strength. He did not rely on his strength. He depended on the strength of God. Shemaiah warned Nehemiah of danger and told him to hide in the temple. Nehemiah wisely tested the message, exposing it as another trick of the enemy. Say, you got to discern. You got to discern. Always remember, people may misuse God's name by saying they know God's will when they have ulterior motives. Listen, Nehemiah did not have the full support of all of the people. He did not. Shemaiah, verse 10, Nodiah or Nodiah, verse 14, and many of the nobles were working against Nehemiah. When Nehemiah was attacked personally, he refused to give in to fear and flee to the temple. According to God's law, it would have been wrong for Nehemiah to go into the temple to hide because Nehemiah was not a priest. Read about it in Numbers chapter 18, verse 22. On the other hand, if Nehemiah had run for his life, he would have undermined the courage he was trying to instill in the people because they was already broken. They didn't have any courage. They needed to see courage. In verse 15, they said the wall could not be rebuilt. They said the job was too big and the problems was far too great. So they told Nehemiah it could not be done. But God's men and women joined for special in this special task and solved the problems. Church tonight, no matter how great the challenge that you are faced with at this time, do not let the size, I need that loud please, do not let the size of the task or the length of time. Sometimes we say God is taking too long and we get out of, we get discouraged and we allow doubt and unbelief and we don't believe God. But God never goes back on his word. Yes, no matter how long the time is needed to accomplish what God has given you to do, keep on doing what God has called you to do. With God's help, it can be done. I say tonight, church, refuse to come down. And I'd like to ask you the question tonight. Church, those of you who are viewing, what is it that you allow to stop you from doing the work of God, to stop you from being faithful to God? What have you allowed to stop you from coming into the house of God, from gathering together? What is it? And it's to me first. I bought this ladder for a demonstration, and I'm going to do that demonstration. I will not keep you all long. I think that's telling you, the church has fallen asleep. And when the Lord is saying, wake up, or we wake up to the night, or whatever time you wake up, God wants to have communion with you. God wants you to come into his presence so he can download instructions for you for the day ahead. God wants you to pray ahead of the day. He wants his people to command our morning, to command it to get up before the dawn. And before the demonstration yesterday, we were going to a commissioning service, and I had gone to sleep. Yes, my goodness, I've been asleep for a while. But let me tell you, while when the Lord awakened me, I hear my spirit, I said, you need to pray. You got to go and pray. And when I got up, I felt a heaviness on me, and I couldn't really pray. I went and I sat down in the prayer room. The phone rang, and it was one of my sons that called. And he said, oh my God, why do you sound like that? And I said, oh, I just got up. But it was the heaviness that was pressing on me. And then I had to get off the phone and go and pray. And it was the Holy Spirit who was instructing the prayers. And listen, little did I know, we went to pick up Evangelist Baby. We went to pick her up and pick up our neighbor to go to the commissioning service. Now, with that led us on East Sunrise Highway. The light was green. That's all I know. The light was green. And we'd be going for that light. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I mean, it seemed like this car came on the road. The car was coming toward us. The driver was on the wrong side of the road, headed to us on the speeding, catching the green light. And listen here. I saw divine intervention right in action. And only God. We don't even know how we escaped the head of a collision. But God. But you know, before I left prayer, God said, call on the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Just call on divine intervention. And there was divine intervention. Only God. And so it is so important for us to be in communion with God. To hear him, because not to do our own thing. Nehemiah could not carry out the work to build, to rebuild the wall and do all that he had done. You can go and read the book of Nehemiah, the things that Nehemiah did for those people. And only God can get the glory. And I want to show you something. I'm going to kneel. Whatever posture, listen, there are so many postures. You can stand, you can walk, you can lay prostrate, you can kneel. But whatever your posture is, we must be in that posture before God. Listen, your heart may be aching tonight. You may have pain. You may be going through some situations that seem impossible. But you got to pray. Sometimes you go to pray, there's no prayer, there's nothing there. But you have to go in that place. Trev, how you could go on the first one, please? See, because when you kneel and you can stay on it, when you go, each time you go to prayer, you start climbing. You start climbing. So as you pray, you say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. I don't even feel like the Lord said, then I ask you how you feel. The word says that we must walk by faith. And God wants to bring us to that place where we can get past our feelings. Where we can just walk in the spirit and say, God, I'm going to trust you in spite of how I feel. But the church has been allowing our feelings and emotions to determine our altitude in God. And God says, faith. Next step. And each time you pray, keep going. Each time you pray, keep going. Keep going. Right there. Hold on now. Listen, you can imagine when Sanballat and Tobiah telling Nehemiah to come off the wall, and the wall is so tall for him to come down off the wall. What is it, church, that we have allowed? I got to say we, because I'm guilty too. You know, what have we allowed to stop our climb, to stop climbing? No matter what is in your way, whatever obstacle is there, you ought to know that thing that came to stop you is already conquered. It is conquered because we are more than conquerors to him that loves us. man that lies, that some Sanballat is a biter. I mean, the tax on his personal character. Man, me and man could go up there and Stevens and say, man, I get the bad thing to do with the word of the Lord. But yes, you will get a bad thing, but God will vindicate you. And then it's false. So tonight, there's a clarion call. See, the trail. Trail, anyway, trail up there. Listen, you can imagine. You have to be focused up there, you know. You can't play up there. No, you can't play. You can't do the dance up there. You can't be done. I'm just using you as an example. I'm saying, I'm talking to trail, but I'm talking to us as the people. You can imagine it takes skill to climb. But God says, each time we go to prayer, we climb it. It may look like nothing is happening. It may look like things are getting worse. The attacks intensify. But listen, in the spirit realm, you climb it. You climb it. That's all the devil say. He climb it. I got to try to stop him. And that's what Sanballat, Tobiah, and Gershom said. We got to stop them from building the wall. We do not want this wall to be built. Listen, Satan, the person sitting next to you is not your enemy. Satan is your enemy. So it is his job. It is his job to stop us. He's doing his work. But what are we doing? What are we doing? Thank you. Thank you so much. What are we doing? We are in the last days. God is calling for the church to arise. How does the church arise? The church arises through prayer. Through prayer and fasting. Because when you go to prayer, you're going to be in the Word. And God wants to bring us to a place where we will not allow anything to stop us from reading the Word, from being faithful to God, faithful in our devotion to Him, faithful in serving Him wholeheartedly. And most of the time, to tell you the truth, by times we go in places, when we get so tired, we read the Bible, be the last thing that we read, say we're tired. So I mean, we don't want to say, I know we get this Word. But God wants us to get past tired. He wants us to depend on Him. It's a barrier. We have allowed tiredness and how we feel to become a barrier. And so we don't want to break the barrier, but we got to push. And how do we push? We push through prayer with the aid of the Holy Spirit. Flesh cannot do it. It's the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be more tuned in to the Holy Spirit by spending that time in prayer, that devotional time, and we give God, if we want to be honest, we give God the least. And the Lord said to me, Margaret, you're not doing even a quarter of what I have you to do. We don't do enough for God. And souls are dying. And souls are dying without Christ. While the church is asleep, it's time for the church to awaken. It's time for the church to arise and be the light. Shine the light of Jesus Christ. Like Nehemiah, those people had no hope. They lost hope. And Nehemiah cried. He wept. He cried. He was so, so sad that he went into the presence of the king. So sad. I don't know if he was even eating. And the king noticed that something was wrong with Nehemiah. And when the king called him in and said, Nehemiah, I don't think you're sick, but something is wrong. And he was the to. We're losing too many people. We're losing too many loved ones. We're losing those in our communities. The community needs to feel the church. The community needs to have a holy reverence down there at Mount Calvary. The presence of God is there. We have to reverence God. I saw a young man one day. I was in the church and he was passing by. I was praying and he took off his hat and bowed his head and he walked past. He had a reverence for God. He did not confess Jesus Christ, but he felt the presence of God. And it's time for us as the people of God to stop conforming. We have to stop conforming and be transformed by renewing of our minds, that we will put on the mind of Christ like Nehemiah and ask God in our weakest moments, say, Lord, I'm weak, Lord, I need your strength. It's time for us as God's people to ask God for his strength, to cover us with his grace. Because sometimes, truth be known, it feels like you don't have no more strength. Sometimes when we go to prayer, we don't even have a prayer. But God is there. He is there. And when we come out from the place of spending time with the Lord, we feel strength that we knew it belongs to God, because we feel renewed strength. Come on, church, it's time. It's challenging, but it's time to wake up, church. It's time to wake up out of complacency. It's time to wake up out of laziness, sleepiness, slumber, and procrastination. Oh, procrastination is one of the biggest strongholds of our lives. Where we said, I'll do it tomorrow. Yeah, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll take care of that later. And later never comes.